Do you think selling is hard? Then this episode is for you. My name is Ingvild Kolnes, and this is Sustainable Photography. Today's guest, Destiny Tillery, and I are talking all about in-person sales, something I have very little experience with, so let's learn together. You're listening to Sustainable Photography, a podcast all about business tips, inspiration, and confidence building. I'm Ingvild Kolnes, the host of this podcast, and after over a decade as a photographer, I now help talented photographers run sustainable businesses. And for full transparency, you should know that I'm a mentor with paid offers, and I will probably mention some of those in this episode. Destiny Tillery is a homeschooling mom, newborn photographer, business coach, and host of the IPS Made Easy Photography podcast. She teaches photographers strategies to grow their businesses through in-person sales in a non-salesy or hard way. Let's get to know her better, shall we? Hi, Destiny. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, this is a conversation I'm really excited about because we're going to talk about something I know pretty much nothing about because I have no experience in doing so, but we're going to talk about in-person sales. First, though, I do want to know more about you and basically how you ended up where you are now.
Yeah, so my name is Destiny Tillery, and I was born and raised in the South. I'm from Mississippi, and I have three children. Two of those I homeschool this year for the first time. So I'm all things homeschool mom. See, I was raised on the beach originally, the coast of Alabama, and I love the beach. And ever since I've gotten older, gotten a family, gotten married, I've been trying to get back to the beach. But I don't think it's ever going to happen, but we vacation there a lot. When my oldest daughter, who's now 16, when she was two, I started photography. And that's really when my journey to be a photographer and then beyond really started. Yeah.
So how has it evolved since?
So the busier I got, the more I realized things needed to change. And, you know, as most things do, whenever you start out in business, you don't really know what you're doing. You don't know how, you know, the best way to go about doing things. You read what other people do. You learn what other people works for them. But it really takes a while for you to get into your groove and figure out what's working. And more importantly, sometimes it's what's not working. And what wasn't working was me spending all of my time sitting at a computer and watching my family do other things without me because I was so busy. So it was a bittersweet, kind of like, you know, double-edged sword. You want business, you want to get clients, and then you think you're successful because you've made it, right? Well, what really defines success? You know, is it more money or is it more time? Perhaps it's both, you know? And so that is what I wanted to find out whenever I realized something had to change. My husband and I, we decided to take our then 6-year-old daughter on a vacation. And the weeks leading up to this certain vacation, and this was really my aha moment that I needed to sell my photography work in a different way. I needed to change some things. And it was something that I think that a lot of photographers, particularly mothers, can really relate to because I had my child asking me to play with her just to look at her, you know, like, look at this picture or come play with me or rate my flip or whatever it was, you know? And I was so busy looking at the computer, trying to edit. And I was like, baby, I want to, but I just can't. I can't right now because I have so much to do. I've got to get ready for this vacation, but I promise we're going to have so much fun. We're going to spend all this time together. And I knew in that moment, I was never going to have to tell her that again because I was not going to do it anymore. Even if it meant that I didn't do another session, it wasn't going to happen like that anymore. I could not do that anymore. So that was the moment where I realized, hey, I need to change systems. I need to create boundaries. What are they? How do I make them? How do I sell my work? What should my prices be? And I just went out on a full-on like launch to figure out what that was and how that would look for me. And I'm sure that a lot of photographers who have a sustainable business, and you've interviewed so many of them, I know, that's the goal, is sustainability and what that looks like for everyone. And for me, it was definitely something that was going to allow me to spend more time with my family and to make sure that I had longevity in my business.
Yeah. And I think that's what you're talking about now. It's so recognizable for so many, because if there's something that I see again and again, is that photographers in general are way too busy and they just do too much. And if they don't reach that whole burnout plateau where everything is just too much, then at least they're getting pretty close and they're getting to be unhappy and they're discovering that things don't work. And I guess that's maybe the whole reason why I started this podcast to begin with. But I'm curious to know how a sustainable business looks to you based on everything you've experienced.
Well, a sustainable business to me looks like one that I know has, it's really twofold. One that I know that I can continuously book clients, I can have sessions and thus have income coming in a consistent and reliable way. But then also sustainable for me, because what I could do at 25 is not what I can do now at 40. You know, I don't want to do 6 or 7 sessions a week. I don't want to do that. So sustainability to me now is different than it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago or even, you know, 15 years ago coming up on. And for me, it really looks like being able to make the money so that I don't have to work as much. And the second part is to know that I have systems in place, marketing tools and word of mouth and, you know, all the things that I have set in place so that I know that I have consistent clients for as many as I need or really want.
Yeah, I think that's really, really important. And it always, maybe not always, but it very often comes back to that of making sure that you are charging enough so that you're making enough money. Because if you don't have that, then it's going to be really easy or maybe almost impossible to feel like you can start saying no and kind of calming down and just taking your time and making sure that you can have some free time for everything else except for work as well.
It's absolutely true. Yeah. Got to make enough money to be able to continue to do it or you'll just absolutely burn out.
Yeah. So is that when you discovered that maybe trying to sell your images in person was the way to go instead of whatever it is you were doing before? Maybe you can tell us a little bit about how you used to do things and what you ended up trying instead.
Yeah. So for a very short amount of time, I did the shoot and burn thing. And it back then, it really was shoot and burn. It really was a CD.
I did the CD thing as well.
Yeah. So new photographers now, it probably doesn't make quite as much sense as it does for those of us that started earlier. But anyway, I did that for a very short time. And then I moved into a model where I would take the photos, edit, and then I would tell them, oh, in about a couple weeks or so, I'll have your photos in an online gallery. And then you can go in and you can order on your own. Okay. This is one of the mistakes that I made very early on. And it did not take me too terribly long to get out of this as fast as humanly possible. And there was a couple of reasons for that. Number one, whenever I would do this and I didn't have a clear date when I was going to have them up there, I would have emails, calls, messages on social media all over the place at all hours of the day asking when their photos were going to be ready. They were so excited and I'm happy that they were, but it was such an energy drain and it always felt like you've got this monkey on your back and you've got to do this thing. You know, you've got to get these pictures ready and they're never going to be happy and they want sneak peeks and you know, the whole thing. And then the other reason it was not good is because for, I don't know how it is for you, but for me, and I know a lot of people that I know, sometimes as a woman, we have so many hats that we wear in the home. There's a lot of things that take the priority spot in your life over logging into a photographer's website or their gallery site to look at the pictures and actually choose. They cannot wait to see them. But when it was time to order, man, I had so many clients that would just drag their feet. And it got so bad that at one point there was like 15 or 20 sessions that I had like outstanding where they just had not yet ordered,
Wow.
So then as a photographer and a creative, you're left wondering, did they not like me? Did they not like the work? I mean, did they really like him? What was their expression when they saw him? Are they going to use me again? Are they talking bad? Like, are they going to rip me off and like screenshot the pictures and post them on such a, like, you just, so many questions are unanswered and so much is just lingering out there. You know, your paycheck depends on them placing their order, right? And it was just one of those mistakes that I'm like, I've got to help people. You know, whenever I get to a certain point, my husband kept telling me when I did get out of this, and I'll explain how I did. My husband was like, you know, you should teach other people how to do this. And this was back in like 2015. And here we are in 2023, you know, but yeah, begging people to place their order is not the position that you want to be in when you're looking to book clients that are high end, or you want to give them some sort of boutique experience. That's not the position that you ever want to find yourself in. You don't want to be begging them. And if they don't, then they're penalized with a fee. Maybe you charge it, maybe you don't. But either way, you don't want to have to ever have that dynamic in your relationship and in your business relationship where you're somehow, you know, like you're punishing them, you know, for not placing their order. So I just did away with that altogether. And then I created a product line that I wanted. I didn't create it. I curated it from other labs, obviously. But I just started somewhere. It wasn't perfect and it's not where I ended up, but it's where it was somewhere where I just started. And when it worked, I was like, I can't believe this worked, but it worked. And I'm so thankful. And then I've never looked back since then.
Wow. Yeah. And that's another thing. There's a lot of things here, but there's another thing that I know that so many are just like, yep, yeah, this is happening to me all the time. Yeah, that's how it is. So I think this is just really important to know that there is a different way of doing things. You can change it. So how did it work when you stopped doing just the online galleries? What was the process like?
Okay. Yeah. So everything remained the same on the front end. Whenever I started doing in-person sales, or even before then, when I was still throwing them up on a gallery online, I would still charge a sitting fee. And that's how it remained. I charged a sitting fee. I shot the session. But this time, instead of saying, I'll just message you when they're ready, I would tell them a specific date. Let's get together on a specific date and let's go over your photos, you know, where I can present the photos to you. And by this time, after I shoot the session, my clients and anyone who is doing in-person sales, they're going to properly prep their clients. They're going to know from the time that they hit the website and every form of communication thereafter is going to prep the client to know what's going on and what to expect every step of the way. But it basically works like this. You charge a sitting fee, do the session, create a date, you meet, present the photos, show them samples, ask them about, you know, what their goal is, what their vision is for their photos and how they would like to display them. And then you walk them through that order based on what it is that they want. And so there's no more wondering, did my clients like their photos? Which ones were their favorites? Which ones were not their favorites? What do they really want? You know, maybe they just say, oh, I want digitals. But what really do they want? Are they wanting just memory preservation? Do they just want to collect dust on a flash drive? What really do they want? And so then you can uncover what it is that they're really saying and help guide them along in their order. It is not high pressure sales. It is not manipulation. And it doesn't have to be, you know, like every photographer can charge whatever they want to. And whether you're meeting a client in person, and your prices are lower or middle or, you know, very expensive, it doesn't really matter as long as you are meeting with your clients and it's going to help you become a sustainable business yourself. So really, it's not in-person sales so much as it is service.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. And do you think it works for any kind of photography, or is it for something like portraits or weddings where you know that the client wants to end up with something tangible, or can it work for other kinds of sessions as well, do you think?
So there are probably a few different niches of photography that it may not work as good, but for most all of portrait photographers, it absolutely will work. And even some of my wedding clients, they a lot of times meet, you know, before the wedding ahead of time. Do you meet your clients before the wedding?
I usually do in terms of the engagement session. Like that's when we meet and we have meetings on the phone and stuff, but we usually don't have like a sit down meeting. And actually now I only do elopements, which means we only meet on the wedding day because they almost always come from either Canada or the US or maybe the UK. So they're usually always from far away. So that's very different.
Wow. That is fantastic. So I don't guess for your genre of photography that it would work so well.
Yeah, for me it would be hard, but it can work if you have like a video talk where you can kind of, and you have some kind of an idea beforehand that you know what they want, and you can also bring, you know, album and prints. I don't know if I'd want to present that on the actual wedding day, but maybe like if you meet up the day before or day after, just to kind of probably the day before to kind of give them the options. I think that would really work actually.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's been a lot of success with Zoom conference calls, you know, Zoom calls where you, ahead of time, you can show them the products. And then during a call, you can sort of solidify that order.
So when you meet, all the images are edited and you have a bunch of like sample products that you can show them. Is that how you do it?
Yeah. Yep. So I'll have all the products that I have that I offer out on display for my clients to be able to come see. They can put their hands on them, touch them and feel them, look through them. So often we're so used to everything that's digital nowadays that when we give something to our clients to look at, when we hold something, it's not like today is not like when it was when we were children. We would go to our grandparents' homes and we look at these albums and we flip through all these amazing, you know, and I have been married for 22 years almost. And the first 5 or 6 years, we have all kind of albums, you know, we actually went and had film developed and we put them in the sleeves and all of this. And that's just not what is typical now. So you really have to stop and be intentional about printing your photos or having someone do that. And when your clients can put their fingers on it, they envision their own photos in these big canvases or in this framed artwork or in these albums, and then it becomes real to them. Then they catch the vision of what it could be.
So can you have too many options? Because when I present my product to my clients, I make sure that I don't offer too many things because I don't want to overwhelm them. Is it different when you're meeting in person because you can kind of guide them in the direction that you know that they want? Or how would you do that?
It's not different. You can still overwhelm them. And no, I absolutely teach that you need to have a very limited amount of products that you offer. Something that's very simple. I don't know. Is there a cheesecake factory in Norway? Aren't you in Norway?
Yeah, I'm in Norway. And no, there's not a cheesecake factory, but I think I understand the general idea. It's like a big menu and like everything's on there. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yes. The Cheesecake Factory is known for having like, I don't know, something ridiculous, like 6 pages. And no matter what you choose, you feel like you've chosen the wrong thing. And so if you have, because it takes you, you know, forever to mull over your decision. And then once you do, you're looking at everyone else's plate thinking, oh man, I should have gotten that. Oh, I didn't see that. I didn't even know. You know, then you're left thinking that you made a bad decision. And I never want my clients to walk away thinking that maybe they should have gone with something else or just second guessing themselves. And so not only that, you want to have a clean, high-end look so that there is no question. And it's very easy to make decisions once that they're confident doing. And it makes them feel better, not only about the photos that they have now, but about the investment that they're now making in these memories. I think that you could offer too many products and you could offer too many options in the way of your pricing. And I think that's a big mistake that a lot of photographers, even the ones that do begin in-person sales, maybe they're not finding success very fast, or maybe they're reaching some roadblocks that they didn't anticipate. And that could be one of them. It could be that they're offering too many products or that their pricing guides are just very confusing, hard to understand, and just too complicated.
Do you walk them through the pricing on the day you meet as well? Like you take them through and let them know the price of each thing and
Yes, they would have already seen the pricing ahead of time, though. We would have already talked it through before we meet. So by the time we meet, it's just basically just like a revisiting of something that they already know.
Okay, because that's where my biggest problem is, because I have tried, if I've had a local client and, you know, we've walked through, they wanted an album, and then, you know, we've sat down and looked at albums and stuff. And then I'm the one who's like, she's maybe saying like, oh yeah, we want the biggest one. And I'm like, are you sure you want the biggest one? It's really big. Cause I'm like talking them away from what they really want. Cause I feel like that is so much money. Are you sure you want to spend that much? It's only listed because I want you to get the second biggest one. So how can you stop doing that?
Okay. That's a great question. And this is what I tell my students. I want you to pause. When you have that urge to say that, I want you to pause, because sometimes people have the means to, and they want to spend more, because for them, it feels like they are providing for their family at a higher level, that they want the best and they don't want the middle road. You know, most people do, but some people don't. And they definitely don't want to be seen as getting the cheapest package or the cheapest album option. And so when you have that urge to say something, it's because we fear rejection. And if there is a pause, if there is 1 second that we are not talking or talking is being done, we feel like we have to fill it with words to help convince them one way or another. And one way or another, we will convince them. So what I would say is just take a pause, let them think about it. Because if we're not even allowing them to really think it through, then we could be doing more damage to not only our bottom line, but to their end product. So yeah, when you feel that urge to say something, just give it 10, 15 seconds.
Yeah, I think that's good advice, because I don't like it when someone talks to me like, I should make a different choice, or you kind of look like you can't afford this. It's not nice for anyone. And we need to kind of trust that our clients knows what's best for them without us being like, I'm the only one who can tell you what to do. So yeah, I definitely think you're right about that.
And something else, you know, this is a big factor in any business. It's that we take cues and clues from our clients, their social status, and we really shouldn't do that. If we judge a book by its cover, we could really get ourselves in some trouble, because what if they really can afford it, they just don't outwardly show it? Or what if they typically wouldn't spend this, but they've spent all year saving because they want you to photograph for their family? And because this is what they value, this is the important things in life that they want to spend their money on. And, you know, we could go on and on all day about what people value and what they spend their money on. I joke and say, my mother and my mother-in-law, they both are very, really good cooks. Okay. They love to have kitchen gadgets. I don't know how, but like, I married a man whose mom likes the same things my mom does, as far as like certain kind of pots and like little tiny appliances that do this and that and everything. Anyway, so when they come to my house, they look at my kitchen and they're like, Destiny, your kitchen is just so empty. You don't have anything to do. I don't even know how to cook in here because it's so inept. And I'm like, I'm sorry, somehow we get by. And it's not that I can't go spend the money on those things that they have. It's just, I just don't value that. It's not that important to me. And so I tell people all the time, look, whenever someone doesn't book you, or you know, I'm encouraging a photographer that's new into in-person sales, and they're like, oh, you know, they didn't book. That's okay, because they just didn't value this specific experience like another person will.
Yeah. That's very true. And it's something that I often talk about as well. If someone doesn't choose you, then there's no point kind of being sad about it, because they wouldn't have appreciated what you have to offer anyway. So you would have probably had to deal with a client that weren't really happy with you. So I think you should just be happy when someone chooses to go in a different direction. But I still have to ask, have you ever had an in-person sales meeting with someone and they haven't bought anything?
I don't think that I ever have where they didn't buy anything. I think maybe over the years, they didn't buy as much as maybe they thought they would, or that I thought that they would. Usually what happens in that case, if that does happen, is usually the wife was not totally forthcoming with her husband. That's usually the case. And so I really do try my very best to make sure that both parties or all parties involved in making the final decision on the investment is present. They're present and consensual and everybody is good. There have been a few over the years where I've had a wife in tears because she couldn't order as much as she wanted to because the husband said, and I don't want to throw husbands under the bus, but you know, that's usually how it rolls. So usually if it, you know, I almost always, I can't require obviously that they come together because of different situations, but most of the time they do come together. But when it hasn't, that's usually the situation.
Yeah, that makes sense. Money matters. Money is what lets you have all the things that you need and want, both in your life and business. And as business owners, it's up to us to ask for it and to charge the right amounts. Here's where many photographers mess up, and I want to help fix that. Go to ingridcullinus.com/pricing workshop and get your ticket to the pricing workshop, where we'll talk about money mindset, what to base your prices on, we'll build out your packages and make sure that you're avoiding the most common mistakes. 5 days of clear, actionable lessons and live coaching calls. Come join us. Because you teach this stuff to a lot of people, so you must have seen a lot of different things. Are there any mistakes that keep happening again and again? Like, are there common mistakes that a lot of photographers do when they're trying to do in-person sales or in-person service?
Yeah, right. Well, I think I touched on a couple of those, and that would be that they have their pricing guide as a mess. Maybe they have too many collections or packages, or maybe the packages are hard to understand, or they've got too many products that they're offering, all the different things. And I would say to them, for anyone who is wanting to maybe explore the idea of in-person sales in your audience, I would ask them to find out what they sell the most of. If they've not started at all, and they've just gone, you know, from a digital package only to something where they're wanting to sell products, then sell is their favorite for now, because you're going to talk about what you love. You're going to show off what you personally like. So if you don't have anything to go off of, go with just very simple, maybe 2, 3, 4 tops products, including the albums, and just go from there and keep it very simple. So yeah, that would be the biggest mistake. That and exactly what you said that you do is you're like, are you sure? Don't talk your clients out of it. And a lot of time the inflections in our voice will tell if we are questioning their decision, or maybe even if, you know, we're telling them our prices and we end it with a question like, my price is $14,000, you know, whatever it is, you're asking, you know, permission for that to be your price. And that's not the position that you want to be in.
No, you definitely want to be the authority and not the person who's kind of scared of saying how your business is, because you don't want to let your client kind of run your business. You want to be in charge of your business, because if not, it's really hard to be profitable if you're going to let your clients walk all over you and decide what your pricing or anything else is.
One other thing that I see a lot of is that photographers are not, if they have not bought into the idea of niching down or niching, however you want to say it, then they really have a hard time because they've not been sold out to one type of session. They can't really go all in on speaking to one client, one person, and then they have trouble attracting more of the same or trying to figure out, is this product geared for a bride or is this for a newborn client?
Yeah, I agree with that, because again, I think it's because a lot of or most or all photographers start off with this being their passion and what they think is the most fun to do. And then giving up some of that, like choosing one kind of session over another, is really hard because they want to keep doing everything. And there might be a bit of scarcity involved as well. Like if I start saying no to things, then how is my business going to be surviving because it's barely breaking even as it is now? Like that kind of thinking, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I would tell a photographer who is really struggling with that is don't say no to it. If you're worried right now about not making the money to your ends meet to pay the bills, then take that session. That doesn't mean you have to share it. You don't have to put that session on your website. You don't have to put it on Instagram or Facebook. You do it, you get paid, you offer excellent service. And then when you have that client, you do everything you can to talk up, you know, referrals and talk to them about the people that they know that are doing whatever it is that you really want to do. Maybe they'll book you for a different type of session, or maybe they'll, you know, in 2 months, they'll have a cousin that asks about something specific. You never know. But if you just talk about what you want to do and only show what you want to do more of, that's what you're going to get more of eventually.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And it sounds like definitely the way to do things. So you've been doing this for like the in-person sales for about 8 years or so. Was that, am I right?
Yeah, 8 to 10 years.
Yeah. What kind of mistakes have you done yourself? You know what other people are doing now, but what have you done to that you shouldn't have or that you've learned from? Because there must be something when you've been doing it for this long.
Yes, there was a really big mistake that I made, and I could really only blame myself. And that was to release an order or two to clients who had not fully paid for their order. It was a huge mistake. One that you don't have to make many of before you realize it's not what you're going to do anymore.
Yeah.
Right. Because you know what happened. They just didn't pay. And then you're like, well, I guess that's on me because I shouldn't have done that, you know? So yeah, definitely make sure you're paid in full before you release any products for sure.
Yeah. I've made the same mistake when it comes to weddings as well. Before I was like, I guess I can take the final payment after the wedding, or I think I had the invoice to be due on the wedding day. And then, you know, they'd overspent for the wedding. And then when it came time to pay my bill, that was always the one that got pushed. And that's not the final kind of thought I want them to have of me, to like be the one that's kind of chasing down payments. So after that, I was like, okay, from now on, all payments have to be in before the wedding or I'm not showing up.
That's exactly right. Yeah. You don't want to be a payment chaser for sure. Another mistake that I made was whenever I was creating different packages or the collections that I had, what I did not realize when I first started was that the higher the collection should be not only the more that they get and the more they pay, but it should be directly tied with how much profit I have at the end. If I end up with the same profit with collection one as I do collection three, then there is a problem. So what I did is I gave away the farm, so to speak. And so that is just one of those things that you've got to look out for and to be very mindful of whenever you're creating your pricing guide. And if you choose to create collections, you need to be more profitable. For the higher the collection, the higher the profit. Because you could very easily want to justify the price by just putting everything in there. You know, they're going to love it if they're going to get this, they're going to get this. But guess what? They didn't really need all of those little extra things. And you've just given away all your profit. You may as well have just sold digitals the whole time.
Yeah. That actually reminded me of another mistake I made many years ago where I had decided I wanted to start offering albums. But I did the thing where I calculated my prices to make sure that they were profitable. And the price came out so high and I felt so bad. And I was like, there's no way I can charge this much. So I was like, you can get it for 50% off. And I said that to all my couples that year. And then at the end of the year, when I was calculating my revenue, I realized that I didn't make any money on those albums. So it's like, there's a reason why you have the calculations that you do. There's a reason why the products cost what they cost. Because they're expensive and they take you a long time to create. There's a lot of cost involved. There's a lot of time involved. And you have to stick to your pricing and not get scared and just not charge at all, because that's not a business.
No, never apologize for your prices. Even if you've made a mistake one way or the other, find it quickly, make it right. Whenever, if it's a little bit higher than what you think maybe you should get percentage-wise on the cost versus price ratio, who cares? Make extra profit. Just don't apologize for that.
Yeah.
Because if someone is willing to pay it, that's what it's worth.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, I want to go a step back to talk about the pricing guide that you send out, since we're talking about pricing. And I'm really curious, because you say that a lot of photographers have messy pricing guides. How are they messy, and how can you or should you structure them to make sure that they make sense?
Well, you know, right now in this day and age, our attention spans are like this. They're very short. If we look at something, and you may be like me, I'm not sure, but if I look at something and I'm trying to figure out and it seems complicated, I'm out. Like, I'm just already irritated. And I hate that about it, about the way that society is now. But unless I really, really slow down and really try, but if I am going between a couple of different people to hire or some services, you know, recently we hired someone to do something on our property and we had a few quotes to come out, and it's just easier to do business with somebody who's so clear, concise, confident, and it's easy to follow. And so if I'm looking at a pricing guide for anything and I have to try to figure it out and like I'm going all over the place and then I have to read too many words and I can't just figure it out by looking at the numbers, I'm kind of done. I'm kind of out. I'm already kind of a little irritated just on the onset. And I don't know if that's just my personality or if it's other people, if it represents others as well, but that's not how I want. If I have too many of my inquiries that are asking questions to clarify my pricing, then I need to change something. And so do others, right? Because if they can't figure it out, then they're not going to book. You know, you don't even hear about some of them that don't even ask. So what I would say is too messy is like too many products, too many packages. If you buy this, then you'll get this. And if you get this, you'll get half off of this. And you can always substitute this product, or this product for a product credit or something like that, you know, and it's just hard to follow and to abide by, really.
Yeah. So just simplify.
Yeah. Just simplify it. And then the second part to the question, just very simple a la carte menu, handful of products, maybe a few collections, clear directions. Yeah. Easy to read.
Yeah. And the direction part, I think, also is really important, because most people have never been to a photographer before and they don't know how it works. And even if they've been to a photographer before, that doesn't mean they've worked with you before and know your process. So having those clear steps, I think, is really important so people don't get confused or misunderstand. And I think misunderstandings and confusion is like the biggest thing that makes people not buy, and to just get confused and scared and just go in the opposite direction, really.
I agree with you. Yeah. There are so many digital only photographers, all inclusive photographers, that most likely your client has come from a photographer like that. That's, you know, obviously it's just one price. So it's very easy for them to understand. They're going to show up, they're going to pay this amount, they're going to get these number of pictures, and they walk away and they do whatever. But when they come to you, they're having to now figure out, okay, now what is this and how does this work again? And so the easier you can make it for them, the more bookings you're going to get and the higher sales you'll have.
That absolutely makes sense. So how long have you been teaching in-person sales? And you have a podcast about this as well, don't you?
I do. I've been teaching since 2019, and my podcast is IPS Made Easy. So that is exactly what I teach. And I want everyone to walk away with knowing is it doesn't have to be hard. It doesn't have to be real pushy or salesy. Don't have to be an extrovert or a salesy type of person. You just reframe the thinking to service, then it just becomes a lot more attainable in the mind about moving into this way of selling your photography work.
Why did you choose this topic to teach about and to have as your focus area? Because there's a million things you could have started talking about and teaching about. So what made you choose in-person sales?
Well, this was the catalyst that I used to transform my life. This took me from getting my time back with my family. After that, the story that I told you about my daughter, then we had two more children. And so two of them were in the same year. And so I very quickly got very busy taking care of children and washing clothes and, you know, feeding them. And so, and also trying to build a business. And I had to create this other thing. And so it just so totally transformed our finances and my time. I would even say my reputation and for being a photographer, because I don't want to be seen as the cheapest photographer in town. You know? So a lot of times I'll see where people will go on a Facebook page and, you know, a local one and ask, does anybody know of a newborn photographer in town or something like that? And there'll be all these names, and or there'll be one that says something like, I don't want to charge an arm and a leg. Look, I don't want my name on there. Okay. I don't want my name on that because I want someone to say, like, what I've seen is, hey, it's worth it. You know, you're going to pay for it, but it's going to be worth it. Because really and truly, it's not just about the money. It's about being able to do this long term. And what am I going to trade my time for? What am I going to give up in order to make this money? We have to make money, yes, but I'm not going to hustle as hard if it's to the detriment of my family and me being able to pour back into my kids and my husband the way that I know that I want to. So it's financially, I went from about $50,000 a year to 3 years later, I was making $250,000 a year.
That's a big jump.
This is a big jump. And it really wasn't even the prices themselves weren't, I mean, they were higher, of course, but it was like the perception. It was the perception of value. And my work pretty much stayed the same. It was the products. It was the one-on-one time. It was the overall satisfaction of the client who then told their friends and they wanted the same thing. It was like the whole culmination of things. But that is the reason that I want to teach other photographers to do this, is that get back to doing the things in your life that you love doing. You know, what hobbies do you no longer do that you wish you could? Or what ones do you want to learn how to do? What trips do you want to take? Like, it's not just about building a business. It's a big part. It's not every part. So, yeah.
And if you could recommend just one thing for whoever is listening right now that want to have a more sustainable business, what would you say that they should go do?
A more sustainable business, meet with your clients in person. Get them offline, even if you don't even change your prices. All you can do to build up the confidence and to get up the nerve to really go all in on this is to just meet with them in person. Use whatever you have right now. If you sell online, an online gallery medium, print some samples. Meet with them at Starbucks. Meet with them at their home. Even if you don't have a studio, it's okay. You can find a public place to meet them. It's going to be huge. It really is. That and create boundaries. Decide on what schedule you want to work it. Work and stick to that, because you've got to make the money, but then you also don't want to be burned out.
That is so true. And it's the mistake I think most photographers do. Like, they just work too much and want so much to make their clients happy. And then you kind of just forget about everything else, which is a shame.
Yes, we've got to have sleep.
Yeah, we absolutely do. But I just have to say thank you. This was such an important talk to have. And I'm sure that a lot of people now have something important to think about and maybe want to consider doing in-person sales. And if they want to keep learning from you, which I'm sure that they do, where do they find you? And let us know about the podcast one more time.
Yeah, definitely. Well, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on your show to talk about sustainability, because that is just such an important cornerstone in any business, especially for the ones that, like us photographers, who so easily fall into the trap of hustle and busy and saying yes, that we can be selective, we can have boundaries, we can raise our prices, and we can serve our clients at a higher level, including our families. You can find me at destinytillerieducation.com, where I have a free 3-day mini course where it's absolutely free. You register for it, it will end up in your inbox, and then you can listen to that, interact with it, and see if it's something that you want to explore. And if you guys want to listen in on my podcast, it's IPS Made Easy. You can find it anywhere that you listen to podcasts.
Perfect. I'm going to be sure to link to them in the show notes so that they're just a click away. And I just have to say again, thank you so much for doing this talk with us, Destiny.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. You just listened to an episode of Sustainable Photography. Please share this episode with a photographer you care about.